Joey, good to have you. How you been?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good, man. This was, you know, it's weird. It's a season that could have been predicted as far as running the table in the regular season. Beyond that, you don't know the matchups. You don't know where you're going to be playing. You don't know anything. You don't know about health of the team at that point. But if you take everything at face value, and Bob and I kind of went all in on this very early on what kind of team this could be, when did it occur to you that they would be this good? Was there a time in the season, or did they just live up to all of your expectations?
I think you might have to go to week two Cincinnati. Just the way that was supposed to be a team that was going to challenge Ohio State. Luke Fickell had coached them well last year. It was kind of a fringe top 25 team, but that really laid the groundwork for what we've seen from Ohio State, where they just leave no margin for any doubt whatsoever. They shut them out. And I think at that point, you kind of wondered and kind of thought maybe this team might have something special.
No, it makes sense. And so, like, as watching this team throughout the season, did you anticipate that they would have eventually become the team that would have been able to challenge for the number one seed? Or at what point did you think that that was a realistic possibility?
It had to be midseason. I mean, it just built every week because there was never any point where anything seemed fluky. There was no game where they benefited from a couple turnovers or penalties. It was just they smashed teams up front. They had good skill position. I mean, they got to a point where they were. It was just a clinic, and it was. I think people use the term "boring good" almost, where they just went through teams with ease. So I would probably say, you thought they could maybe challenge for the number one seed when they went through Nebraska, Michigan State, and kind of got to the midway point of the season, and you saw some of the struggles that Clemson was having. So I think at that point is when maybe we started thinking about number one seed potential.
Joey Kaufman with us from the Columbus Dispatch, talking Buckeyes with you. What's the big storyline for you heading into the semifinal?
I think you have a lot of different subplots in a way. You have, for one, you have the 2016 Fiesta Bowl, that's the obvious one where you last time Ohio State played Clemson, last time they were in the playoff, and that really spearheaded and prompted Urban Meyer to go after Ryan Day and bring him to Columbus, which obviously 2 years later, Ryan Day is the head coach of Ohio State. And I think that's the big draw in this game is that was the catalyst for remaking the program. They got to measure themselves up against the Clemsons, the Alabamas, and they were short, and now they get a chance to measure themselves up against Clemson once again.
Ohio State has two of the four representatives with Justin Fields and Chase Young being at the Heisman Trophy ceremony coming up. I mean, both of those guys probably realistically don't have a chance to win it. I think everybody assumes that it's going to naturally be Joe Burrow, but as far as, you know, you look across the national landscape, they have a ton of guys who are up for a ton of awards. How many of those do you see people bringing home the hardware as potentially the best player at their position or on their side of the ball?
I'd expect Chase Young to sweep most of the defensive awards. For one, he did the Heisman Trophy ceremony, which is such a rare feat for a defensive player, so he would look like an obvious candidate to get a lot of those. He won the Nagurski Trophy last night. I think Jeff Okuda has a good chance with the Thorpe Award. Fields and Dobbins have the biggest challenges just because of their competition. Justin Fields is going up against Joe Burrow for the Davey O'Brien Award, and J.K. Dobbins is going up with Jonathan Taylor with Wisconsin for the Doak Walker Award. And Jonathan Taylor's coming off a pretty good game against Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, has over 6,000 rushing yards in his career, so that's a formidable foe to go up against for that award.
Do you think it's a overrated storyline or underrated when it comes to experience and whether playoff experience matters? Certainly Ohio State's played in all these big games. They've handled adversity in a couple of them, especially on Saturday night. Is it comparable to what they'll experience in the desert playing against a team where nearly every one of those guys has been in the situation?
I think it's a little overrated. This isn't a case where it's the NBA playoffs where you're going through a seven-game series and you have ups and downs. The college ball playoff is really a two-game season. You play one game and you play the next game. It's not, you're not talking about a a long, grueling stretch. And there are going to be a couple moments in each game which will decide the things. But I don't look at it where you have experience is going to tip the scales in one way or the other.
We're talking with Joey Kaufman of the Columbus Dispatch, who covers Ohio State football on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And Joey, looking at this Ohio State team now, I mean, obviously they've been overwhelming on both sides of the football. If you were to kind of diagnose one weakness, something that could be exposed potentially when they start to play some of these elite teams, the Clemsons, potentially the LSU, should they win, you know, what would be that area of concern for you?
I think it's pass protection. I mean, we saw that in the first half against Wisconsin where they brought a lot of pressure, and Ohio State's offensive line was overwhelmed, and their sack rate has been down relative to a lot of the other top teams in the country toward the bottom half of the FBS in terms of sack percentage of sacks they've allowed on dropbacks, their number of sacks they've given up, which is high. And I don't look at that as all being on the offensive line. One of the issues with Justin Fields is he holds on to the ball long, and sometimes that leads to a lot of great plays, but he also that can lead to some sacks. So I'm curious if that'll be an element that opposing teams can maybe exploit, bring a lot of pressure, and you're also going to get into bigger, more talented defensive lines in the playoffs.
Joey Kaufman with us as we talk Ohio State. Ryan Day has been an incredible story this year. I don't know if we've put enough into it. I think this has been like a continuation. You know, Urban's kind of like sitting on his right shoulder a little bit, you know, throughout the whole season. I don't know whether that's been easy or whether that's given him some security or whatever, but the story of him going up against Dabo, I don't know if it'll be talked about enough because we know the players on the field are fairly evenly matched. What do you think of that battle on the coaching sidelines?
It's interesting because both of the coaches were former interim coaches at their schools. Dabo Swinney was the interim coach at Clemson back in 2008. Ryan Day was obviously the interim coach or acting head coach for the first three games last year. So they have a shared backstory in that regard. They weren't just plucked out of a Group of Five school. They were guys that their schools felt comfortable with and kept some continuity and everything. So you're right. That will be an interesting subplot to the game. Actually, all four coaches in the playoff were promoted from within. Ed Odron was interim coach at Oklahoma, and Lincoln Riley was essentially the coach in waiting at Oklahoma. So it's been an interesting trend where maybe the interim guy, the infrastructure of the program is the biggest advantage that these schools have, less so than just a dynamite head coach on the outside.
Is there any injury worries, Joey, coming out of that game that could be impacted here in a couple weeks? Because they don't have the massive layoff you play, you know, because the way that the structure set up this year, the championship game was a little bit late. Now the semifinal will be the 28th. Is there anything that could be a concern, whether, you know, Sean Wade sitting out against Michigan, Jeffrey Okuda, you know, potentially, you know, with the injury and him being out a little bit? I mean, is there any worry for you with some of the elite players not being active?
Certainly Justin Fields, and I don't think there's really a question whether he'll be active. He's going to play in the game, but he sprained his MCL against Penn State, and you saw in the Big Ten championship game that they were really hesitant to run him. Ryan Day said the next day that they basically didn't call any design runs for him. If you saw him running in that game, it was because he was dropping back to pass, the play broke down, and he scrambled. So that's been a huge element that he's given them this season, is the ability to run third and short in the red zone. They've improved dramatically in the red zone this year. And if Justin Fields is limited in any fashion with his ability to run the ball, that takes away a huge part of what they want to do on offense. So that's something we'll have to monitor here in the next 3 weeks.
Does it sound right to you, the spread on the game, Ohio State a 2-point underdog? Does that sound appropriate?
That seems about right. When the line's 2 or 3 points in favor of one team, it's basically a pick-em mm-hmm. game. And I think you probably do need to give a nod to the team that's won 13 games and won 15 games last year. So something, do the math for me, but that's a long winning streak. So that seems about fair to me.
Yeah.
Give a nod to the defending champs.
Yeah. And it might be good for Ohio State to kind of play up the underdog role a little bit. Joey, great job. Glad we had you on. We'll talk to you real soon, man. Enjoy the build-up and the hype.
You too.
Thanks. Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline.